God's Word for You, 1 Chronicles 15, verses 25 to 28, beginning with verses 25 and 26. Now David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of units of 1,000 were going to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom, rejoicing as they went, because God was helping the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. Elders, and we would call them generals, commanders of 1,000, were present to accompany the Ark. It was an occasion of the highest honors. With such people present and mentioned by title, if not by name, we know that they were not simply bystanders. They would have marched behind the Ark as part of the long procession. They were all saying with their presence and by their attendance, "Yes, hallelujah." We too are delighted by that the Ark is being brought to its resting place in the city. Praise the Lord, and so on. Obed-Edom is mentioned again because the Ark had been at his house all this time. Now he was brought into the procession, and he was even named in verse 24 as one of the doorkeepers of the Ark. And whether or not this was merely an honorary title is of no matter. David remembered him and the service he had performed, just as God remembers you and me and the service we perform for him, whatever that might be. In the account of this procession, in 2 Samuel 6, David sacrificed 1 bull and 1 fattened calf after the men carrying the ark had taken 6 steps. That's 2 Samuel 6:13, different than what we have here. But this difference, or rather this distance of the 6 steps, is not mentioned here in Chronicles, but more offerings are listed. In all, apart from David's offerings, at least 6 other, perhaps 7 total, bulls were slaughtered, and 7 rams too. And perhaps each of the men physically carrying the ark made such an offering as David did, thanking God for not striking them down dead for what they were doing. Surely they were aware of the danger and of the tremendous importance of what was happening. 3 other times in Scripture, sacrifice to the Lord of 7 bulls and 7 rams is mentioned. This does not count the offering made by Balaam, the false prophet, in Numbers 23. In Ezekiel 45:23, an offering of 7 bulls and 7 rams is made during each of the 7 days of the Passover celebration in the prophet's vision of the heavenly temple. This, of course, is a vision of holiness, not a law changing the number of prescribed offerings. King Hezekiah made such an offering, adding 7 lambs, as a sin offering for Judah after he became king, 2 Chronicles 29. His father Ahaz had sinned by desecrating the temple and offering sacrifices to the gods of Damascus. And finally, Job's friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, are commanded by God in person to make an offering of 7 bulls and 7 rams, along with prayers from Job for their forgiveness, to atone for their false accusations of Job during the week of their consolation with him in Job 42, verse 8. And the Lord, we're told, accepted Job's prayer. You know, curiously, this is not important, but Job 42, 8 has a representative of every active verb conjugation and all of the major verb forms in one verse. Kal, Niphal, Piel, Hifil, and Hithpael, as well as imperfect, perfect, imperative, infinitive, and participle, and vav consecutive forms. This offering was therefore a superlative request for forgiveness beyond the usual sacrifices. It showed, beyond any doubt, the guilt of the men and nation, in Hezekiah's case, who had sinned. And perhaps David, like his descendant Hezekiah, had the whole nation in mind when he made this public offering. Verses 27 and 28. David was clothed in a robe of fine linen, as were all of the Levites who were carrying the ark, as were the singers, and Kenaniah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouts, with the sounding of ram's horns and trumpets and cymbals and the playing of lyres and harps. Fine linen was not just for priests, but was a form of, we would say, Sunday best. Pharaoh gave Joseph a robe of fine linen when he pronounced the patriarch to be the number two man in all of Egypt in Genesis 41. Mordecai was given a similar fine linen robe of actually of purple by King Xerxes in Esther 8:15, and the heroic wife of Proverbs 31 is clothed in fine linen and purple because her husband loves her and respects her labor and love in Proverbs 31:22. However, David also wore the mysterious ephod as well, a garment normally associated with priests. There was the strange case of Gideon's idolatrous golden ephod that became a snare for his family in Judges 8, but the boy Samuel wore a linen ephod, a sort of over-the-shoulders apron in 1 Samuel 2:18, and Saul's shepherd, Doeg, killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod in 1 Samuel 22:18, another indication that it was at least a priestly and not necessarily high priestly garment. But why David wore one is perhaps a mystery we will not fully unravel. A king, as Saul had found out, should not assume the role of a priest, although he might be given the role of prophet. David may simply have gone a little too far in this case, adopting a human symbol for a divinely appointed robe that was not his. I'm sorry, role that was not his. But the Lord did not look down on David for this. And the Levite musicians were wearing similar clothing. It's possible that since David was also participating in the music, at least the dancing in this case, he felt that it was wise to match their clothing. He may have considered it to be an act of humility rather than wearing his royal robes. And as we shall see, his wife Michal was not happy with his choice. So this verse becomes an illustration for repentance for us. David and the priests had sinned. They looked into the law of the Lord to learn his will, and they found their sins there. After this, they turned away from that sin by lining up their actions with his expressed holy will. They did not cover up their actions or hide their action away. They confessed their guilt. This was the point of the blood sacrifice of bulls and rams. And they proceeded to do what God's word said was the right action. This is also what we should do, except that with regard to the sacrifice, our one sacrifice, Christ Jesus our Lord, is the only one required. Our change of heart and our faith in Jesus is what the Lord truly wants from us. The ark had begun to move. God was not displeased. And in that case, since the Lord did not show his displeasure, he was showing his pleasure. What they were doing was acceptable. It was allowed. It was all right. And best of all, it was good. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Surely salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Those are some verses from Psalm 85. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.